In today's story, we, Time of Hope Radio, invite you to follow along as we start with Fatima and Lucia's own words, Sister Lucia's memoir. Translated by Dominican Nuns of Perpetual Rosary, are done by readers Mike Han,
Quen Mai,
Quen Yin,
Hugh Vu,
David Nguyen,
and Vi Long.
Editor's Prefix.
The publication of the 13th edition of the first volume of Sister Lucia's memoirs in the English language is complete, including the text of Appendix 3 as presented in the 11th edition. To the first four memoirs, written by the command of the Bishop of Lira, Jose Aves Torda de Silva, and to the Appendices 1 and 2, accounts of the apparitions in Fuenteverde and Tui. In the fulfillment of the promise of 13 July 1917.
I will come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays.
I now join the text of the important document entitled The Message of Fatima, with the third part of the secret, which John Paul II entrusted the Sacred Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith with the charge of making it public after preparing a suitable commentary. Thus, with the publication of the third part of the secret received from Our Lady by the Three Little Shepherds on 13 July 1917. See Appendix 3. The entire message of Fatima is now contained in this first volume. These first four memoirs, besides the apparitions of the angel and Our Lady, also describe how the little shepherds corresponded heroically to the requests of Our Lady, and in them they point out to everyone, in a special way to the children, a sure way to reach holiness. Those entitled fifth memoir, about her father, and sixth memoir, about her mother, written by Sister Lucia, in the Carmel of Coimbra, are published in a separate volume, Sister Lucia's Memoir 2. The Beatification of Francisco and Jacinta Marto, 13 May 2000, should mark a new era for the Church.
Father, to you I offer praise, for you have revealed these things to the merest children. Today, Jesus' praise takes the solemn form of the beatification of the little shepherds, Francisco and Jacinta. With this rite, the Church wishes to place on the candelabrum these two candles which God lit to illumine humanity in its dark and anxious hours. May the message of their lives remain always alive to shine on the path of humanity. Sermon of Pope John Paul II in Fatima during the Mass of Beatification.
The contents of these memoirs well justify the great effort spent in the preparation of this new edition. With the kind permission of the Bishop of Liria, Fatima, Seraphim de Sousa Vera e Silva, we have used the original manuscripts of the first four memoirs. We have, therefore, entrusted the work of this translation to the care of the English-speaking community of Dominican nuns of the Perpetual Rosary of the Monastery Pius XII, Fatima. We avail also of the work of the Claritan, Father Dr. Joaquin Maria Alonso, and we relied on the help of Father Dr. Luciano Cristino, Director of the Fatima Sanctuary Services for Study and Expansion. Herewith, we offer them, in our name and that of all the readers of this volume, the expression of our gratitude for their precious help. Thus, in this new edition, is given you, dear reader, the certainty possible of the words of Sister Lucia, though corrected in orthography and in the presentation of the dialogues, hoping that they penetrate the very depths of your being and there take root in laborious ductility to the Spirit. We give thanks to the Lord for the grace of being able to have available today in our hands the complete work about the message of Fatima, which will help so much to know and to love more and more the Holy Mother of God and our Mother. Far Louis Condor, Vice Postulator for the Causes of Canonization of Blessed Francisco and Jacinta.
Introduction to Sister Lucia's memoir.
Before a proper introduction to the entire publication of the memoirs, the reader will appreciate a short presentation in our intentions, the limits we have established for ourselves, and the working procedure adopted by us. This edition of the memoirs of Sister Lucia is a true and faithful translation of the Portuguese text of the original letters, which are kept in the Episcopal Archives in Leiria. We are indebted to His Excellency, the Bishop, Most Reverend Dom Serafim Ferreira e Silva, for his permission for its publication. This is, of course, not a critical edition in the real sense of the word. We are translating the original texts and reproducing the words of the authoress herself, with every possible accuracy and reliability. The final and critical edition is being published in Portuguese as a detailed work. The present work is, therefore, a popular and simple edition of valuable text, which will astonish the world. We are not calling it popular in order to be exempt from the demands of literary criticism, even though we do not wish to meet all of these demands here. For instance, it is not necessary to draw our readers' attention to all the references and sources supporting our statements. They can rest assured that, in this introduction and in the notes, we shall not make any assertions which we will not substantiate in the critical work which we hope to publish before long.
Such a popular work, however, must have certain limits. It is not necessary to multiply references and notes. In order that the reader may understand the text without difficulty, we are given the necessary explanations whenever we feel that the choice of words or the train of thought of the authoress require elucidation. This is also the basis of our working procedure. We did not think it advisable to edit such texts as those of Lucia, which in themselves are exceptionally transparent and unpretentious, without making the normal divisions originating from the text itself. We have, therefore, divided the memoirs into sections, chapters, and paragraphs, as suggested by the very text itself or its logical structure. In order to make it clear to the reader that the headings have been chosen by us and not by Sister Lucia, we have had them printed in italics. We hope in this way to provide the reader with a brief pause where the descriptions are lengthy, and that the headings will at the same time prepare the mind for the contents of what is to come. The notes at the end of the respectful page are to assist the reader in overcoming certain difficulties, i.e., to explain various circumstances that appear strange at first, or other points without which some aspects of the original text cannot be understood. In the first place, we are presenting a brief biography of Sister Lucia, followed by a description of her literary abilities, and finally a general introduction to her memoirs.
A biographical sketch of Lucia.
On the 30th day of March, 1907, a female child was baptized, of the name Lucia, born at Altistrol. On the 22nd day of March of the same year, at 7 o'clock in the evening, This is the wording shown in the parish register. Her parents were Antonio dos Santos and Maria Rosa, residents of Aljustro, a hamlet belonging to the parish of Fatima. As the youngest of seven children, six girls and one boy, Lucia was the family favorite and was surrounded with affection from her earliest childhood. Although the family met with many troubles and misfortunes, Lucia's mother bore them all in exemplary Christian spirit. At the age of six, Lucia received her first Holy Communion, the account of which will move our readers to joy and wonder. Family circumstances obliged her to start out in life straight away as a shepherdess. At first, in 1915, her companions were the girls and boys of Aljustro and its surroundings. As from 1917, her cousins Jacinta and Francisco Marto were her sole companions. That was the year in which the Blessed Virgin appeared. Lucia had a special role during the apparitions, as the vision spoke only to her and gave her a message which was only revealed at a future date. She lived and suffered, together with Francisco and Jacinta, on account of the apparitions. She alone has remained on earth for a longer period in order to fill her mission. The Blessed Virgin actually requested her to learn to read. She started attending school, however, only after the apparitions, but with her talents and her good memory, she learned to read and write very quickly.
As soon as the apparitions were over, of course, Lucia found herself in the position of a visionary, with all the dangers resulting therefrom. Something, therefore, had to be done about her. One of the primary interests of the new bishop of the re-established diocese of Lierda was her education. He tried to keep her away from the dangers threatening her in an atmosphere so permeated with the extraordinary. On the morning of June 17, 1921, she entered the College of the Sisters of St. Dorothy at Villar, which is now a suburb of Porto. We are given a description of what she looked like in those days, which, by the way, corresponds perfectly to the well-known photographs. High and broad head, large brown lively eyes, thin eyebrows, flat nose, wide mouth, thick lips, round chin. The face radiates something supernatural. Hair light and fine, a slight build but tall for her age. 13 years and 6 months, strong features but a likable face, lively, intelligent, but modest and without presumption. Hands of normal size, roughened by work. As a young girl of 14 years and 3 months, Lucia entered the College of Porto, and there she received an excellent moral and religious formation. Her schooling was rather inadequate, however, as it went barely beyond elementary levels. From the beginning, she was thoroughly trained in domestic work. Nevertheless, with her great ability, her good memory, her perseverance, and her serious behavior, this young girl succeeded in acquiring a fairly complete education.
Even before she entered the college, Lucia already felt drawn to dedicate herself to God in the religious life. This intensely pious life of the college, however, caused her to reflect more deeply, and her first thought went to the Carmelites. But the example for her teachers and her gratitude towards them made her decide to enter the Institute of St. Dorothy. The Portuguese novitiate was at that time, 1921, to 1925, Atui, where Lucia entered on October 24, 1925, at the age of 18. She went first to the house of Poynter Verza, where she spent some months as a postulant. This house was situated in a side street known as Travessia de Isabel II. and there she stayed from the 25th October, 1925, to the 20th July, 1926. She then went to the novitiate house of Tui to complete her postulancy, and she began her novitiate with her clothing on 2nd October, 1926. After 2 years, she made her profession of vows on the 3rd October, 1928. She remained on in the same house, but with the professed sisters, until she took her perpetual vows on the 3rd October, 1934. A few days later, she was transferred to the convent of Pontevedra and only returned to Tui in May 1937, where she remained until she was sent to Portugal at the end of May 1946. After a few days' visit to the Cova de Iria and Aljustrel, where she identified the places of the apparitions, Sister Lucia was assigned to the house at Sardau in Vila Nova de Gaia, near Porto. And finally, when the desire she had a long time to live in seclusion and solitude reawakened, she received, by kind favor of Pope Pius XII, permission to change over to the Descalced Carmelites, whom she joined in March 25, 1948. And there she lived a life of prayer and penance until her holy death, which occurred on 13 February 2005, at the great age of almost 98 years.
With regard to everything written concerning Fatima, one cannot but agree with what the Portuguese writer Antero de Vigarado enthusiastically wrote about his own book.
But the light, the wonderful light of this book, has its origin in the pure, deep, and admirably simple soul of the seer, Lucia of Jesus.
First of all, let us mention that Lucia's manuscripts do indeed reveal a certain lack of literary education. However, Lucia's great natural talents have made up for what would otherwise have been a deficiency that could have scarcely have been remedied. She admits more than once, and quite openly, how incapable and inadequate she is. To quote her own words, she says,
"Even my handwriting is scarcely presentable."
Whatever her deficiency, it does not impede her clear and distinct construction of sentences. Sometimes, indeed, she writes in an elegant and elevated style. Her literary qualities could be summarized as follows: accuracy and clarity of thought, delicate and deep feeling, lively imagination, and a truly artistic sense of humor, giving charm to the narrative, a sensitive irony that never hurts, an extraordinary memory as far as details and circumstances are concerned. Lucia's dialogues pour forth as though the people concerned were present in person. In her imagination, she sees the scenery as if it was before her eyes. She describes Jacinta and Francisco, her confessors and others, but words which disclose an unusual psychological insight. She is fully conscious of her deviation and always returns with much skill to her starting point.
In a way, her style is influenced occasionally by the somewhat flowery, conventual literature, but her naturalness, vivacity, and joy always triumph. Who could forget that last night when she bade farewell to the beloved places where the apparitions occurred on the eve of her departure for Porto? Who could not admire the graceful way in which she describes the shoes of a certain canon with her silver buckles?
How could anyone not be surprised at the ease of with which she records those songs of the mountain? From the beginning, Lucia knows how to express what she wants to say, and she says it in her own way. Aided by her vivid imagination, she succeeds in writing what she wants to write, and even if domestic work momentarily distracts her, she continues her writing without interrupting either a coherent narrative or the logic of her reflections. Something like that would not be possible without great mental composure. It is true that Lucia felt inspired to write, as she frequently mentions. Her conviction that she could feel a divine presence when writing must not be understood in the strict sense of the word inspiration, i.e., in the nature of prophecy, as the hair-splitting critic described it. She feels that in writing, she is helped by God. A careful reading of her work, however, makes one recognize immediately that Lucia does not mean to use such words in their fullest sense. She herself gives an explicit answer by saying,
"The word inspired indicates that there is a mental stimulus to our actions.
Therefore, it is not a question of inerrancy as applied to Holy Scripture. Lucia may be deceived in the mystical interpretation of her experiences because of the very difficulties of such interpretation. At times, she herself is in doubt as to whether it is God who is talking to her. At other times, she confesses that it would be impossible to make known something with which she has experienced through a mystical grace. Intelligent criticism will discover some mistakes in dates, events, and circumstances. Even if she assures us in critical moments that she has indeed given us ipsissima verba, i.e., the very words of the Blessed Virgin herself, this means nothing other than her efforts to be as honest as possible. What Lucia always feels sure about, and she says so, is the meaning of her words. As far as dates are concerned, Lucia's uncertainty is well known. For one thing, she, Francisco and Jacinta, being children, could count neither days nor months, not to mention years. Thus, Lucia has no recollection of the dates on which the angel appeared. She can only remember them approximately on account of the seasons, which made a strong impression on these small mountain children. The main reason for this weaker aspect of her memory can certainly be found in the realistic character of Lucia's reminiscences, which is always directed towards the essential. Moreover, the readers of Lucia's reminiscences must not forget a guiding principle governing the interpretation of the messages which mystics receive in connection with their supernatural experiences. It is always a question of interpretation, and this does not necessarily mean that everything which the mystics say corresponds word for word to the divine messages. This does not imply, however, that one should only believe in what is merely natural in the extraordinary phenomena she experienced.
We should like to point out a final difficulty, so that the reader will be better prepared for reading these wonderful texts. One has to differentiate between a message from heaven, as presented to us by Sister Lucia, and the reflection on it or interpretation of it given by her. Within the difficulties inherent in mystical interpretation, the former gives us a greater guarantee of truthfulness than the latter. If God has given such obvious signs in order to manifest His presence in the events of Fatima, then it can be taken for granted that He also intervened in a special manner, so that His message, transmitted through Mary, would be faithfully passed on by the little seers chosen for that purpose. As we assert that God has given a message of salvation to His church, we must also accept that He has bestowed upon it the charism of truth to pass this message on to us without error. We often observe Lucia thinking about words and events. She is thereby a privileged interpreter, but only and always an interpreter. In this regard, therefore, Sister Lucia's words need not have that special assistance which we claim for the first mentioned case.
The kind of literature called reminiscences.
We are calling the manuscripts, which we place before the reader, reminiscences, because they are indeed most similar to this kind of literature, even if they sometimes look like letters or autobiographies. From the outset, Sister Lucia had no literary ambition in the writing of these admirable documents. She wrote because she was requested to do so. We can rest assured that she has never written anything of her own accord. That does not mean that, in the course of her work, she is not carried away occasionally by the events she mentions, or by the impression that she is indeed creating literature. However, this literature is always clear and spontaneous, and an elegant style emerges without effort or intention on her part. Sister Lucia was in no wise concerned about the kind of literature she was writing, and she had no idea at all that the word reminiscences could mean anything other than memory. She mentions once that she did not know how to carry out the order she had received to give an account of Jacinta's life, and therefore quite naturally turned to the bishop as if she was telling him a story based on her recollections. Therefore, these manuscripts addressed to the Bishop of Lirera should not be regarded as long letters. This procedure was a mere fiction, a literary one in this case, in order to get out of the difficulty. What Lucia really wanted is to write down her reminiscences, and for that reason they are entitled to be called reminiscences. And because this is indeed a kind of literature in which the author wants to convey recollections relating to himself or others, to his own experience or to that of others.
By no means, however, could these manuscripts be called a biography or an autobiography in the strict sense of the word. Lucia did not and could not intend to submit to us either a biography of Jacinta or Francisco or an autobiography. It was only a question of a number of recollections relating to the principal facts in the lives of Jacinta and of Francisco and, of course, of Lucia herself as well, although it was not her intention to dwell on herself. Biography and autobiography, however, differ from reminiscences, inasmuch as the latter does not wish to convey more than just reminiscences. The former kinds of literature aim at something more complete and systematic, and are based not on mere recollections, but on an analysis of documents. In her work, however, Lucia had only to look back and write down her recollections. Since these concerned the lives of Francisco and Jacinta, they inevitably concerned her as well. On the other hand, everything connected with the apparitions of the lady was seen no longer as a simple recollection, but as a presence impressed upon her soul, as though by fire. She herself points out to us that these things remained impressed upon her soul in such a way that she could not possibly forget them. These reminiscences of Sister Lucia, therefore, are rather like rereading inscriptions, which are forever engraven in the deepest depths of the soul of the authoress. She appears to be seeing rather than remembering. The ease of her remembering is indeed so great that she has only to read, as it were, from her soul.
Dear fellow listeners, we will stop here with the story of Fatima and Lucia's own words, Sister Lucia's memoirs. For more information, we would like you to follow us on website www.santmaria.org or www.santmaria.net. You can also email us at santmaria2000@yahoo.com or by phone with Mrs. Kimha 714-265-1512. We look forward to the next time we'll meet again.